Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today is April 12th, 2025, and we've been listening to the HN Pod front page.
Yeah.
You know, that daily summary of Hacker News.
Yeah, it's a great snapshot of what the tech crowd is talking about.
And we're here to sort of unpack some of the biggest stories from today's feed.
Exactly. Think of it as getting the key insights without having to sift through everything yourself. Today's HN Pod had a really interesting mix.
It really did, quite varied. Five main articles stood out, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had this big claim, Google is winning on every AI front.
A bold statement.
Then air pollution fell substantially as Paris restricted car traffic. Very different topic.
Totally different. And then there was that open source file converter.
Oh yeah, the open source and self-hostable private file converter. Sounds useful.
Potentially very useful. Plus something called Nice Things with SVG.
Intriguing. And the last one, Tunar, for making, like, custom TV channels from your own stuff.
Exactly. Create and configure live TV channels from your media servers. So, yeah, quite a range. Typical Hacker News fare.
Definitely. So, where do we start? That Google AI headline feels like the obvious place, I guess.
Yeah, let's dive into that. The whole AI race is just constant news. What was the main thrust of that discussion on the HN Pod?
Well, one of the first things, and it kept coming up, was Google's hardware, specifically their TPUs, the Tensor Processing Units.
Right, the JAX plus TPU ecosystem.
Exactly. A lot of commenters felt this is like a massive advantage because it's in-house, it's mature, it's built just for their AI work, training, and inference.
That vertical integration idea, control your own chips, you know, don't rely on others, gives you potential optimization advantages.
And this is the big but that came up.
Yeah.
Has it actually given them a durable lead?
Ah, the key question. Because, I mean, NVIDIA hasn't exactly been standing still, right, with CDA?
Not at all. And the counter argument was, well, TPUs have needed redesigns. It hasn't been a perfectly smooth path. And maybe that long-term bet hasn't quite delivered the knockout punch yet.
It's that classic build versus buy dilemma, isn't it?
Yeah.
Google build, hoping for deep optimization. Others leveraged existing stuff maybe for speed.
And it's apparently really hard to tell from the outside what the actual cost benefit is.
Yeah, getting concrete data on that is tough.
But there were some comments, sounded like from ex-Googlers maybe, saying certain big ads launches just wouldn't have been possible early on without that TPU power, especially when GPUs were harder to get at scale.
So internally, they definitely seem convinced of the strategic value. It suggests, you know, a real computational edge when they needed it.
And maybe more flexibility, too. Like, if you design the chip, you can maybe design your AI models differently to take advantage of it.
That makes sense. Like tuning an engine for a specific car.
Okay, so powerful engine, the TPUs. But does the car win the race? I mean, translating that power into winning products, that was the next part of the discussion.
Right, because the irony, which people pointed out, is Google did the foundational research on transformers.
The basis for so much modern AI.
Yet it was OpenAI with ChatGPT that really captured everyone's imagination first. Huge engagement.
Yeah, that initial user experience, the features like image input, voice mode, many felt it was just, well, better initially.
Research lead doesn't automatically mean product lead. That's a lesson we see again and again.
But the conversation seemed to suggest things are changing now with Gemini 2.5 Pro.
Uh-huh. The feeling was it's now very competitive. Some argued maybe even beating OpenAI and Claude on certain things. The field is moving incredibly fast.
Just unbelievably fast. And another angle that came up, which is kind of worrying, is the whole ads thing.
Ah, yes. The potential for AI becoming ad supported.
And not just like regular ads. The concern was more subtle integrated advertising within the AI's answers,
yeah.
Which could be, you know, pretty persuasive and hard to spot.
Much more insidious than a banner ad, potentially. And someone drew a parallel to Microsoft bundling Internet Explorer back in the day.
Right. The idea being Google could use free models like Gemini 2.5 Pro to just get massive adoption, build that ecosystem, and lock people in. Buy loyalty, basically.
It forces that question about the business model, doesn't it? Is it winner take all?
Or more like, say, the car industry.
Yeah.
Multiple players. Or even like open source, maybe, like Linux.
Yeah, maybe the real winners aren't the chatbot companies themselves. But the businesses that figure out how to use AI effectively inside their existing services.
AI as a tool, not just the end product.
Exactly. And one last point on that thread, someone worried that if the open web is, you know, dying or becoming paywalled.
Which is a whole other debate.
That could actually limit how good these personal AI assistants can become because they won't have the data. Interesting thought.
Definitely. Okay, let's shift gears completely. From AI bits and bytes to actual air quality.
To Paris. That article about pollution dropping significantly when they restricted car traffic.
Yeah, that generated a lot of discussion, especially linking it to EVs.
Naturally. The immediate thought is, okay, EVs use regenerative braking, so less friction braking.
It just means fewer brake particles, right? That seems logical.
It does. But then the counterpoints came in. EVs are generally heavier, though people debate how much heavier.
And weight means more tire wear, maybe more road wear, too.
That was the argument, though someone threw in that technical bit about road wear being related to axle weight to the fourth power.
Whoa.
Suggesting trucks are the main culprits for road damage anyway, not heavier cars.
Okay, so maybe the road wear part is less clear, but tire wear. There was even a claim that tire wear pollution being worse than exhaust is maybe junk science.
Yeah, that was a strong term used.
Yeah.
But the core point still stands, right? Less use of friction brakes should mean fewer brake particles from EVs.
Which led to the idea of just lighter cars overall. Maybe we don't all need huge vehicles. Tailor the vehicle to the need.
Like those ultra-light city vehicles.
Yeah.
And that sparked some creative ideas like add-on batteries for EVs for long trips.
Like the old ThinkPad batteries. But people questioned the durability, the connectors.
Yeah, practicality concerns.
Yeah.
NIO's battery swapping, which is actually happening in China and Europe, seemed like a more realistic current solution to that rangeway trade-off.
And what about those tiny city EVs like the Twizy or the Omni?
Right. The discussion touched on those. Regulatory issues, safety questions, but also their potential to really change city transport if they caught on.
It got quite philosophical, too. One comment basically said, maybe private cars and healthy city life for humans just can't coexist.
A strong take. And it brought up the practicalities like, okay, cycling is great, but how do you haul groceries for a family for a week?
Though others countered with, well, people in European cities often shop daily or use cargo bikes. It is possible.
True. And someone shared that simple observation. Windows facing streets get dirtier. It's visible.
The main takeaway seemed clear, though. Less traffic volume equals less pollution. And that's not just exhaust. It's tires, brakes, the whole lot.
It's funny you mentioned history. Someone brought up how cars were first seen as cleaner than horses because of all the manure.
Huh. Solved one problem, created another.
Seems to be the way. The consensus on HN Pod seemed to lean towards needing lots of small policies stacked together. Cleaner vehicles, yes, but also better transit, smarter zoning.
Not just one magic bullet, though the more radical idea did surface. Maybe ditching private cars in cities altogether is the only real way to fix the health impacts.
Which led to the car ban versus car reduction debate, and acknowledging you still need trucks, emergency vehicles.
And it really showed the different perspective, didn't it? People living in car-centric places versus bike-friendly ones. Very different experiences. The 15-minute city idea came up too.
Where you can walk or bike for most needs. And interestingly, the point that emergency response times might improve with fewer cars.
How so?
Because of less overall congestion, maybe using bike lanes. Counterintuitive, but plausible.
Huh. There was also a bit about the history of replacing streetcars with buses.
Yeah, the argument that buses were cheaper but provided worse service, ultimately hurting transit overall. Quality matters.
And that amazing historical tidbit about Dutch protests in the 60s, stop the child murder. Fighting for safe cycling for kids.
Powerful stuff.
Mm.
It shows these aren't new debates. And different places try different things, right? Paris making driving hard versus Netherlands encouraging alternatives, even with lots of cars.
Noise pollution was mentioned too. EVs making cities noticeably quieter.
That's a definite quality of life improvement. But, you know, the debate about EV costs, charging difficulties, especially in flats,
yeah,
that's still ongoing.
Yeah, the transition isn't simple. And finally, a quick mention about trusting the air quality monitors. Are they independent?
Always important to consider the source of data, especially on environmental issues.
Okay, third topic. Back to digital tools. That open source self-hosted file converter, vert.esh.
Right. This one seemed to resonate because of privacy concerns with online converters.
Totally. And it's built on solid foundations, apparently. FFmpeg, libvips, pandoc.
Yeah, the workhorses of file conversion. Respected open source libraries. Though initially the project didn't explicitly credit them, seems that's fixed now.
And FFmpeg even runs in the browser now, using WASMM.
It does, yeah. Which is technically cool, but maybe slower or limited for big files compared to running it natively.
Fabrice Bellard, the FFmpeg creator, got a lot of praise too. QEMU, QuickJS, quite the legend.
Definitely a giant in the open source world.
Though someone was a bit disappointed, it was just a front end, hoping for better 3D conversion.
Can't please everyone. But the big draw was security, right? Avoiding those sketchy websites that might inject malware.
Exactly. The FBI has warned about those. Self-hosting gives you control. Someone also mentioned Sterling PDF for private PDF editing.
Another useful self-hosted tool. It taps into that desire for control over your own data and tools.
There was that little debate, too. Do you really need a web UI or just use the command line?
Well, the UI makes it accessible, right? Not everyone's a command line wizard. And useful in corporate settings where you can't install stuff locally.
Good point. And the server code is open source, too, which is nice.
And it's transparency. People mentioned other similar projects, even integrating video downloading with YTDLP.
Seems like a popular category. Someone wanted font conversion, too. Yeah. And using headless Chrome for some stuff.
Yeah, various technical approaches. And PDFBolt.com came up as a privacy-focused but not self-hosted PDF option.
Okay, nearly there. The last two were quicker mentions on the HN Pod feed. Nice things with SVG.
Yeah, not much discussion, but sounds like a showcase of cool stuff you can do with scalable vector graphics. Worth a look for web dev folks.
Definitely. SVG is powerful. And finally, Tuner.
The custom live TV channel creator. For people with big media libraries who want that curated channel surfing feel.
Kind of a niche but fun idea. Recreating serendipity.
Exactly. A different way to engage with your own content.
Well, that wraps up our look at today's HN Pod highlights. We went from AI infrastructure wars to Parisian air quality, open source tools, SVG tricks, and DIY TV channels.
Quite the journey, a real reflection of the Hacker News melting pot.
And hopefully we've distilled the main points and debates for you.
Giving you the essence of those conversations.
So here's a final thought, maybe tying some threads together. It feels like a lot of this, whether it's Google building its own chips, Paris reclaiming streets, people self-hosting tools, or curating media boils down to control.
Interesting angle. Control over infrastructure, environment, data, entertainment.
Yeah, autonomy. In a world that feels increasingly complex, maybe that desire for control, for self-determination, is a common undercurrent. Which of these areas feels most ripe for more individual or collective control to you?
Something to ponder.
Mm-hmm.
Good question to leave folks with.
Absolutely. Think about it and maybe check out the original HN Pod discussions too. Thanks for joining us on the deep dive.